Hallelujah.
Well, I'm excited about this class this semester. I think it's going to be a fountain of blessing and truth. And seems like in life that there's no end to learning and coming into the revelation of faith. At least that's what I've found. There's always more. God will bring so many hungry ones out here. That's a real blessing. Praise the Lord. Let's open up a word of prayer and just commit this semester into God's hands. And trust the Lord to keep you awake and alert at 8 o'clock in the morning. And also full of zeal and desire for God to do the work in your life that you need done. Amen. Father, in Jesus' name, we commit this semester into your hands, O God. And we ask you, Lord, just to anoint every heart. Anoint us, Lord. Anoint our minds, O God. Anoint us, Lord, that we might receive these truths. Father, we want to be changed from glory to glory, O God. We want to take on the image of Christ. Oh, hallelujah. Lord, we're not content to live in a life of sight and sound and taste and touch. Father, we want to live a life in the realms of the Spirit. Oh God, and we know that the only way we can get there is by faith. And so, Lord God, we ask you, Lord, to fill us with faith, Lord. Encourage us, oh God. Deepen us, Lord. Father, we might lay a hold of thy promises, entering into the areas of healing, oh God. For, Lord, it is thy bread to the children. Father, we're your children. And we're so thankful for the covenant promise given to us. We're so glad for the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Our life depends on it, Lord. Everything depends on it, Lord. All of this universe, oh God, depends on the covenant being fulfilled in Jesus Christ. We ask you, oh Lord, that we might be full partakers of that covenant through faith, that we might know the blessings given unto us richly. Oh, hallelujah. You freely give us all things richly to enjoy according to your word, oh God. And we know, Lord, that it's unlocked by faith. I ask you, Lord, to anoint each one. Lord God, cause them to, even as they are tested in life in these areas, to pass their tests, to be able to stand and to believe, to lay a hold, O God, of all that you say, and take it for their very own, Lord, to take a step at a time, trusting in you, allowing you to build them up, O God, that the trying of their faith might bring forth a gold in their lives, that they might be strong and have eternal reward on the other side. Oh, praise you, Jesus, we need you, Lord. We commit our lives into your hands, O God. May this challenge us, Lord. May we be changed. God, may we be brought into a new realm of the Spirit, O God, by the truth of your word in this area. In the name of Jesus we pray. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, thank you. Thank you so much, Lord, for this Bible college, O God. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity, Lord, to take these classes, O God, and to get thy truth in our hearts. Thank you, Lord. You've given us so many wonderful things, O God, so many opportunities, Lord. We're truly grateful, O God, this morning. Lord, may we not take it for granted, but may we take advantage, O Lord, of all that you've given for us. We might grow in your likeness and be able to stand in the day of testing. In the name of Jesus, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise you, praise you, praise you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. The class is a pass-fail class. It's not a graded class, and I probably won't have any tests. I do have an assignment or two, and it'll be necessary that you do the assignment, since that's all I'll have. And so be sure you turn in any assignments that I require. As far as tests, you'll be getting plenty of those in life. I'll leave the Lord to them, and it's the truth. Because the more you receive, the more you're accounted for, the more you have to give account of. And so you'll be tested in life as far as your faith. You'll find many times that the requirements of God go far beyond what the natural mind can achieve. And you have to tippy-toe on in the Spirit. And that's exactly the way our life should be. That's exactly the way we should live life. It's constantly on tippy-toe in the Spirit, laying hold of these things by faith. There is a required textbook in this class. And it's available in the bookstore. And the title of it is Ever Increasing Faith by Smith Wigglesworth. There's also another book that I'd encourage you to read. It's not required, but it ties so much in with faith. The name of it is Humility, The Beauty of Holiness by Andrew Murray. And it's discussing humility. And humility and faith, we're going to see in this class how closely they are tied. Humility and faith. All right, let's start right into it. What is faith? Now, the class is entitled Faith Healing, a study on faith and healing. I'm going to be discussing largely faith in this class. We'll spend the first two-thirds of the semester on faith, but healing is all throughout it. Then the last third, we'll just zero in on healing itself. But faith will be found throughout the whole semester. Now, the reason why we have the class like this, it used to be two separate classes. And the reason why is because there was so much repeat. There was so much that was taught the same in both classes, because when you talk about faith, you're going to talk about healing. And when you talk about healing, you're going to talk about faith. And so they really joined together. About two-thirds of each class was the same. And so that's what we've done. And so it's a one-hour class now. So let's start right in on it. What is faith? Well, the truth of the matter is that there's more confusion than there is understanding, really, about faith. And it seems like the more a person tries to get faith, the more misunderstanding there is. The more confused they get trying to understand what faith is. Now, generally, the term faith refers, in most people's minds, it refers to a mental assent. I believe that. That is, they give mental assent to that. I believe there's a God. I believe in God. And all they're doing is they're giving a mental assent to it. That's all they're really doing. And this is generally how the word faith is used in out throughout, you know, the world. And in this nation. But that's not the type of faith that we're talking about in the Bible. That's a different faith in the Bible, as we'll see. Many people that say, I believe, they don't really have faith, crazy enough. But to believe and to have faith is the same thing. In fact, in the Greek, it's the same word. One's a verb and one's a noun. Faith is the noun. It's a substance, see? To believe is the action of it. And that's the verb. But in the Greek, it's the same word. One just has a noun ending, the other has a verb ending. The noun is pistis. In the Greek, P-I-S-T-I-S. But to believe is pisteuo. P-I-S-T-E-U, long O. So it's the same Greek word. One's just in the verb, and one is a noun. To believe, or to have faith, is the same, even though some people take it differently. And there are shades of meaning, there's no doubt. And in our English language, if you were looking to Webster's dictionary, you would see, you know, number one definition, number two definition, number three definition. But really, the scriptural definition of faith is one and singular. And that's what we want to get to. Basically, faith is a personal conviction. A personal conviction or belief. Some call it a strong assurance. A strong assurance. But God's idea of saving faith, that is the faith that will get you into heaven, is even deeper than this. Is even deeper than this. And I'd like to give you kind of a homely definition. Homely partly because it's my own. But it has some concepts in here that then I want to spend some time talking about this morning. Faith is simply enjoying the gospel as a fact. Simply enjoying the gospel as a fact. All right? Let's take apart this definition and look at each aspect. First of all, simply. Faith is really simple. It really is. It's talked about an awful lot. There's a lot of preaching done on it, and there's a lot of confusion. And all kinds of theology as to how to get faith, how to exercise faith, how to be full of faith, and so forth. And it can be very confusing. Really, it can. And there are people that have come out of certain faith preaching churches and just really full of confusion. There are others that think they are believing in faith, but they're presumptuous and their prayers aren't answered and they're confused and they're frustrated, but they hide it and they just kind of keep plugging on in God. You know, but really, true faith is simple. It really is simple. Anybody can have faith. In fact, it's so simple that God just commands us to do it. Now, He didn't command you to do something that's difficult, that is beyond your reach and capability. Jesus told the disciples, have faith in God. He told them to do it. He commanded it. That's because it's simple. You can do it. In fact, we do it in other areas of life all the time. Faith is in the area of what you cannot see. If you can see something, you can no longer believe in it. Then you know it. But faith is in the area of things that you cannot see. The very well-known definition, of course, is found in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1. Oh, I got so excited to get into this subject this morning, I forgot to give you some of the class policies. And maybe I'll just throw one at you now, real quick. The basic one. This is a basic one, besides being on time. Make sure you make up the tape notes within a week. Very important. Keep right on top of the class, okay? Keep right on top of the class. And turn things in on time. Just be full of integrity and do what you know is right. All right, Hebrews 11 and verse 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And something that you hope for, you can't see it. If you can see it, you don't have to hope for it. You got it. And it's the evidence of things not seen. So you see, faith deals in that which you don't see. Now, we operate in faith in the area of the mundane and the non-spiritual areas all the time. And we do it, you know, it's a matter-of-fact thing. There are many things that we cannot see that we trust in. Electricity. Many people base their lives on electricity, the fact that it'll work. They've seen it work in the past, and they're trusting it'll work again. You know, there are certain kidney machines. There are kidney machines. Without electricity, the person would die. There are the iron lung you've heard of. That thing is operated by electricity. If it stops, it's all over, you see. And they're basing their life on the fact that electricity will work. There are some people that have pulse, I'm trying to think of what it is, pacers, that keep their heart at a certain rate. And it's actually an electrical shock that's consistently given into the heart to set off another beat. And they are basing their entire life on the fact that electricity will work. That's right. And they can't see electricity. These lights right here are operated by electricity. There's a piece of metal that's hooked up to that. A hunk of metal that is hooked up to these lights. And it's making them go like that. And that piece of metal just winds around and goes all the way, you know, and goes way up into the mountain somewhere where there's a dam up there, where there's a generator, and all it is a magnetic field that is forced to change direction. And what it does is it lines up the electrons in the same direction and gets them moving. Now, how all that operates, you know, I mean, this thing is absolutely amazing. And there's much to be said about the whole thing, but we trust in it all the time, and we can't see it. We know things are going to happen when we flip on that switch. We're trusting our life to it. As a window washer, I've many times gone on these swing stages. And that little motor, if there's no electricity to that motor, you're in trouble. And so we hop out on that little thing hanging out over nothing, and we're trusting electricity to do its job. And so we base our life on it. Gravity. You can't see gravity. What is gravity? And yet you base your life on gravity sometimes. That's the truth. You are basing your life on the fact that things that go up must come down, you know, and that you're going to be able to take the next step and still stay on the earth. And of course, it happened the last time, and you get used to trusting it because it happened last time, and so you learn to just base your life on it. See? But you cannot see it. Air. We base our life on air, but we can't see it. We're constantly breathing it. We know that it's there. We know that if we're going 100 miles an hour and you stick your hand out the window, you're going to have some adverse effects. And because of air. And you also know because of air, a plane is going to work a certain way and so forth. We rely on it. The engines out there that have combustion rely on oxygen. And we know it's out there. We've got to have it, but we can't see it. There are a lot of things you can't see that you trust in. Ladies, trust in that car to work. You know what I mean? They can't see it. They don't know how it operates. As far as they know, there's a cage under there with about 20 squirrels, you know, and they're just keeping the thing going. Of course, I'm kidding. But they can't. They don't know how it works. They can't see it. I mean, they look at that thing, to realize that thing is a veritable bomb. There is constant explosion going off. That's what it is. It's constant explosion. Controlled explosion. And that's what's getting you down the road. And we trust in it. We rely on it. But we can't see it. There's a lot of things that are like that. That's the same way God is. That's the same way God is. Faith in God. He's always been there. He'll always be there. He'll never let you down. And you base your life on it. You absolutely base your life on it. And even more than the mundane, your eternal life. Your eternal life is based on that fact. and you can't see Him. You have never seen God. You've never seen Him. Isn't this crazy? You are throwing away your career. You're throwing away all that amounts of money you could have been earning out there. You're spending all your time in this, as some would say, Podunksville Bible College, pouring your life into one book. One book that most people feel is just a mythological caricature of some Israelitic mythology, fables from, made-up history back in time. And we're spending our life on it. We're being mocked at, laughed at, scorned. We're being ill-treated. People think we're crazy and we're nuts. And we're spending all this time going to this school, learning about this book. And people, when you tell them you're going to Bible college, they think that's, a grade above kindergarten or something. They're not sure who would ever go to there. What's that? What good's that for? Bible college and 25 cents can, buy you a package of gum. And that's about all they see. No worth. And yet you are basing your entire life on it. The fact that God is real and that His Word is real.
Amen.
Everything you do is based on that. And yet you have never seen God. You've never seen Him. You see, we operate by faith. And it's simple. It's really simple. We do it in life. You find a thing happens a certain way. You see it consistently happen. You see proof behind it, even though you can't see it. You base your life on it. You rely on it. Right now, I believe that there's a blackboard behind me. I can't see it, but I believe it's there. Because last time I turned, it was there. And so now I have confidence that it's there. I have confidence that it's there. And I can't see it. So I have to believe that it's there. Now, if I look at it, then I don't have to believe anymore, because then I see it. Then I know. But right now, I have to believe that it's there. Yep, see, it's there. Now, you didn't have to believe, because you can see it. But because I couldn't see it, I had to believe. And see, we operate this way consistently. I believe that my wife is, still loving me and so forth. I believe I have absolute confidence in that fact. See? Because she's told me many times, and because it's been consistent, and therefore I base my life on that. And I'm not going through palpitations of insecurity or fear. But I have confidence in that fact. We do it all the time. All the time. Now, concerning God, to believe Him is basically taking Him at His word. Just saying, okay, you don't lie. What you say is true. I accept that. It's simple. It is so simple. And we need to take it simple. And when we have a simple relationship of faith before God, you'll find the Word of God, you'll find the spiritual life and the spiritual realms opening up. Opening up the whole new world for you. And I'm trusting that by the time the semester is over, that you will have confidence that you can be a person of faith. Now, there are certain commitments and dedications that are required. But believe me, when the new convert comes to God, he can come into God and just believe, and the sky's the limit. He can come in and believe tremendous miracles, fantastic demonstrations of God. The knowledge of God, no questions, is so simple. It is so simple that we need to strip away all the complexity. And isn't it true that sin makes things complex? That's exactly where we are with faith. So it's simply enjoying the gospel as a fact. Now let's look at that word enjoying. Enjoying the gospel as a fact. Why do I say enjoying it? Why don't I just say simply accepting the gospel as a fact? Or simply knowing the gospel is a fact? The reason why I say that is because what you believe, I mean really believe, will involve your whole life. And since the gospel is good news, brother, you get to enjoy it. You get to enjoy it. And therefore, it's the enjoyment of it. It involves the whole man. If somebody told you that you just received $50,000 in the mail, and it's a certified check, it's all ready to go. Just plunk it in your bank, and it's all yours. Now, you wouldn't enjoy it until you believed it. But as soon as you believed it, boy, would you ever have a glory shout, You'd have some enjoyment. You would say, wonderful, praise the Lord, now I can pay off that bill, And you'd begin to enjoy it, begin to think of all the things you would do, see. But you wouldn't have any enjoyment in it until you believed it. There are many people that don't enjoy the gospel as a fact. They're not believing. That's really the truth. They're not believing it. They don't enjoy it. They can't enjoy heaven. Do you know you can enjoy heaven right now? That's right. If you believe it, You can, and you will. Nobody will have to try to make you or talk you into it. When God says so-and-so, your response is simply, yippee, praise God, isn't that wonderful? And you got joy bells ringing. You're enjoying it. Because, as Paul said, the God of all, will add peace and joy to your believing. Have peace and joy in your faith. And that's what faith produces, peace and joy. It's the enjoyment of it. Enjoyment really is a feeling, isn't it? To really enjoy something, it's a certain feeling. It's a response. Well, what is it a response to? It's a response to something that we're accepting is good for us. That's right. And what we believe is what we respond to. If you hear a roar and you believe that there's a lion there, you'll have a certain response. Now, if you hear the roar and you believe it's your brother, you know, in the dorm making fun of you, see, and making a joke on you, you'll have a certain response. See, it depends on what you believe out of the situation will depend on how you respond. Now, if you first hear it and all you know at first is just is it catches off guard and it's something that's negative and hurtful, you'll respond that way until your mind tells you, no, that's not a real lion. And then your response to it will change. Your response to things is according to what you believe about it. If you're driving down the road and you're having a little problem with your brakes and you're going down kind of a steep hill and there's a car stopped at a stoplight at the bottom of the hill, you'll have a certain reaction depending on what you believe at the point. Now, if you believe that you can make it, if you believe that there's something you can do about it, you'll respond differently than if you believe it's no hope. If you believe that you have no hope, you'll respond differently than if you believe that there's something that can be done here. If you start pumping the brakes or something, And if you still believe there's something else you can do, you'll keep busy doing your things. You'll keep responding that way. But a person that believes there's no hope, he just kind of puts his foot down there and, he gives up. He doesn't have anything to do. You respond all the time according to what you believe. If somebody comes up to you, says a certain thing, and you believe that they are loving you by saying that, you'll get a certain response. Even if later you found out they're making fun of you. But according to what you believe is how you'll respond. If they come up to you and it was really a spoof, but they said, I really love you and I really care for you, you'll have a certain response. If you believe that, you'll feel security. Now, if you know it's a spoof, then you'll have a certain response. We respond according to what we believe. Now, people that feel that it doesn't matter what they believe, it's ridiculous. Everybody's life is led according to how they believe. The enjoyment of their life is according to how they believe. If they believe they're no good, that's the way they'll live. Now, they might come to you and tell you that I am wonderful and God loves me and I'm a precious person. But if they're not enjoying it, I'm telling you they don't believe it. They don't. It's the same way with healing. If you're not enjoying healing, you don't believe it. That's right. Everything that you believe, you'll base your life on. That's just the way it is. If you believe you can get that job when you try for it, you'll have a certain attitude. If you believe you can't, you'll have a certain attitude. When you pray for healing and you believe, you'll have a certain attitude. What? Joy. Enjoyment. Confidence. Praising God. Thanksgiving. But if you're believing you won't receive, you'll have a certain attitude. Just like I thought. Well, you know. Didn't work. See, we're kidding ourselves. A lot of people kid themselves when they pray about healing. They're not really believing they're going to get healed. They're not believing. They don't believe it. They never enjoy it. And if they get healed, they're surprised. They really have not taken the promises of God and made them theirs. Just like some people don't believe in heaven. Oh, they say they do, but they're not enjoying it. They're not enjoying heaven. Some people don't enjoy the rapture. They're not enjoying the rapture because they don't believe it. But if you believe it, you'll enjoy it. Because it's good news. Now, if you believe the rapture is not good news, but you believe in it, well, then you'll have a certain response. It's all according to what you believe. That's what it is. It's all according to what you believe. You're constantly responding according to what you believe all day long, all the time. What you consider and think a thing to be. If something is a major threat to you, and you feel it's a major threat, even though it isn't at all, you'll respond because you believe it is a major threat. That's right. You will. Practical jokers, you know. Some people have done some horrible practical jokes. And practical jokers, the proverb said, are like a man that is throwing firebrands and arrows and death. It's no good. But they tied a guy out on a railroad track one time, and they left him there for freshman initiation in college. And a train came along, only there was two tracks, and the train was on the other track. But he believed it was on his track. He died. It shook him up so bad, he was in such terror that, I don't know what it was, either from a cardiac arrest or something, but he was a young man. He died on the railroad tracks, and the train never touched him. And that's because he believed that it was on his tracks. And he was so in terror that he died. It was according to what he believed. Now, that's how you respond to it. That's why I say enjoyment. But if it's a lie, no matter what you believe it, it doesn't change the lie. It doesn't change the lie. If you believe that Buddha will get you to heaven, if you believe that Buddha will get you to heaven, it doesn't mean you'll get to heaven. So whether or not it works depends on whether it's true. But how you relate to it depends on whether you believe in it or not. See? Because some people can get a thrill about Joseph Smith. I witnessed to some old friends of mine back where I grew up, and they were Mormons, and they wept over me. If you can imagine that. The whole family was there. And I went in there, and I just happened to meet him. One of my friends was there that I'd known in high school. We were close buddies, and I'd gotten saved now, and I was filled with the Holy Ghost, and I was coming back to tell him about it. And because we were both just as lost in sin before. He'd been out on a Mormon mission, you know, as young men go out and so on. And their whole family was really steeped in it. And I was there just sharing, you know, about the Lord. And they actually cried for me. Shed tears. She felt so sorry for me. They believed it. Their life was centered around the fact, but are they going to make it to heaven because of Joseph Smith? I tell you, see, you will respond and you will react according to what you believe. But whether it works or not depends on what the truth is. But don't forget, faith is enjoyment. I mean, now, or that's if it's good news. I'm talking about the enjoyment of the gospel. And you'll enjoy the gospel. Everything about the gospel is good news. And so you'll have enjoyment about it. If you believe God is upset at you, that He is holding sin against you, and you really believe that, you'll have a certain response. And you might say, well, is that enjoyment? Well, roundabout it is, because it ends up in your good anyway. But the basic idea here of faith is that you live according to what you believe. Now somebody might say, well, I don't think it matters what you believe. Well, I'll tell him, well, that's what you believe. You believe it doesn't matter what you believe. And you'll live according to that belief. Everybody has made decisions. They all have their, quote, philosophy of life. And that's how they live. And that's how they respond. Now, there are many that are hypocritical in it, though, because they say one thing, but they actually believe another. They say one thing. They say, I'm a Christian. But they believe they can get away with sin. They say, I know. I'll walk with God. But they believe it doesn't matter, and they believe they can hide from God. And it shows by their life. They don't get convicted when they're sinning off in secret. They don't get convicted. And that's because they don't believe that God's watching them. They don't believe that. They think they can hide it. You see, you live according to what you believe. But if you have a present God, a loving God, a powerful God, if you have a God of the Bible, brother, you will live it. If that's what you really believe, then that's what you will live. And if you're not living it, then you know you're not believing it. Because you live according to what you believe. We automatically do every day of our life. If somebody says, fire, get up, quick, you'll respond according to what you believe. Now, if you believe at that moment that there is a fire, you'll get out. If you believe that there isn't a fire, you may not. Now, if you believe that you should obey anyway, even though you don't think there's a fire, you'll get out. But it's according to what you believe, you see. It's according to what you accept. And so this is how we run our lives. Don't ever forget this. This is a basic principle of life. And so many people are confused in this issue. And that's why many people out there, they say, I believe in God, and they live like the devil. You can honestly say to them, you don't believe in God like the Bible says believe. You don't believe in the God I believe in. You're believing in a different God. You're believing in a God that has no judgment and isn't even real. You're believing in a concept of your mind. The God of the Bible, He talks about a hell. In fact, Jesus Christ talked about hell more than He did heaven in the Scriptures. And if you believe in hell, brother, you'll do everything to keep out of it. And some people say, oh no, I believe in hell and I know I'm going there. Do you know what? In reality, they really don't believe in hell. And I'll tell you why. I'll tell you why. There is a basic law that all of us live by that's built within us. And it's that you love yourself. Have you ever noticed the Bible never teaches you how to love yourself? It just says you do. It says love your neighbor as yourself. Now that's quite another thing. The loving yourself, though, that's easy. We always do it. You say, well, what about the person that commits suicide? He loves himself. You know why he killed himself? Because he hates what he's going through so bad he wants to get out of it because he loves himself so much. What about the person that's always down on himself, just miserable all the time? It's because he feels he's so lousy. And he's done so many wrong things or bad things that he's unaccepted, but he wants to be accepted so bad that he draws back into this so at least he can get a little bit of self-pity because he loves himself. He's trying to draw worth somehow into himself because he loves himself. He hates his misery, and so this is his escape to try to help himself. It's all because he loves himself. That's the truth. All of those things. All that we do. You don't have to teach people, you know, take care of themselves and so forth. You know, you're all here, you're nice, you look nice, you're dressed and everything. We do that. We take care of ourselves. You don't have to teach people to eat. They want to eat. They love themselves. They'll take care of themselves. You say, well, what about the slop that, you know, he just looks like a mess all the time? Well, you know why? That's because in his loving of himself, he likes to just feed the old flesh. And slothfulness is his master. But it's because he loves himself that he's slothful. Because he doesn't want to put himself out. That's right. We all love ourselves. Therefore, if a person really did believe in hell, he'd do everything to stay out of it. The kind of hell they believe out there is just a make-believe. They don't really believe in hell. If they saw hell, they would do everything they could to keep out of it. They don't believe in hell. Because if they did believe in hell, they would be in terror. They would tremble at it. And you say, well, what about the person that's not afraid of death? You know, he's a heathen, but he's not afraid of death. Well, that's because he believes that he's not really going to die. He believes he's going to reincarnate. Or he believes he's just going to reach his karma, you know. Or he believes, you know, something else. That's right. The heathen can talk themselves into it so that they don't fear death all that much. Until maybe that last stabbing pain that hits their chest or mind, and all of a sudden they're released into eternity, and then the terror hits them. Because now all of a sudden it wasn't like they thought it was. I tell you, brethren, you don't want to have any surprises on that day. You want to make sure you're ready. You want to make sure you know. And that's why you want to follow this book. And if you believe it, you will follow it. Know that if you do not tremble at the Word of God, you don't believe it. You don't believe it like you should. It's a lack of faith. It really is. If there's any way in any area that you are not following what the Scripture has said, know that there is not a strong enough faith. There's not a strong enough belief. Now, it is true that you can accept certain things as true and you believe them, and even though you're weak and you stumble, still that's what you're pressing towards. But I'm talking about those that you don't care about, that you're not trying, see? Then you don't really believe. If it doesn't really affect you, if it's not part of your life, you don't really believe it. So faith is the enjoying of the gospel as a fact. I mean, it's just automatic. Faith will produce it. You don't have to try to produce joy when you believe. You'll have it. When you hear good news, you'll have joy. You'll have joy. Because you believe it. You accept it. Now, it's the enjoying of the gospel. It's got to be the gospel. true, living, saving faith now. Now I'm talking about the Bible kind of faith. The Bible kind of faith that gets you to heaven has to be the enjoyment of the gospel. Because Muhammad won't get you there. And Buddha won't get you there. It's got to be the gospel. It's got to be the good news of Jesus Christ. And then the fourth point of that definition is enjoying simply enjoying the gospel as a fact. As a fact. Now what are facts? They are things that are a surety. They are sure. In other words, we enjoy it as a fact. We take it as sure, as unchangeable. As unchangeable. There are many things. Now remember, it's only in the area of the unseen. There are many things that you and I are constantly involved with and dealing with that you have only laid a hold of by faith. For instance, heaven, hell, angels. These are all areas that you and I have laid a hold of and have experienced and know of. And we accept them as fact, but only by faith because you've never seen them. As I mentioned, angels, judgment, sin. You've never seen sin. What is sin? I mean, it's sin is in the eyes of the beholder, some people say. Just like they say beauty is in the eyes of the beholder and so forth. Some people have that same attitude about sin. It's unseen. Redemption. What about redemption? Have you ever seen redemption? The blood of Christ. What about the blood of Christ? How can something 2,000 years ago that, you know, is spilled and then it dried and then it's gone. How could something like that? The blood of Christ. How about demons? Demons. Are they really real? Come on now. You've never seen one. Are they true? Isn't this just our way of making up some sort of a... The devil would love you to believe that. The future. You haven't seen the future. What do you believe about the future? Do you have any faith about the future? God's Word says an awful lot about the future. God. How about God? How about the different aspects of our relationship with Him that are unseen? Love. Have you ever seen love? How do you operate love? What do you do with love? See, all of it revolves again around faith. It all does. Justice. How about justice? What's just? What isn't just? You know, it all comes back to faith. I'm telling you that everything in the gospel are facts only because of faith. How about mercy? What's mercy? Have you ever seen mercy? You say, well, I've seen actions of all these things. I've seen actions and responses of angels and demons and God and all kinds of things. I say, sure, that's fine. But as far as the existence of it, and of course, you might say, well, justice and all those things are concepts and therefore it's not a tangible thing. But no, really, there is faith. In order to bring those things into existence, there has to be faith as far as your life is concerned. Now, that doesn't mean they don't exist. How about your relationship with God? All the aspects of it, like I mentioned a few already, but your entire relationship with God. Let me give you another little definition of faith that kind of ties in with this. Faith is taking God as God with unremitting seriousness. Faith is taking God as God with unremitting seriousness. Have you ever considered God? Who is He? How big is He? Where does He live? What does He do? God, what can He do? How powerful is He? How big is He in your life? You know something? Some people got a little God and some people got a big God. You know? Why? He's the same. It's because of their faith. Some people see Him as only a little God that can't take time with them, that doesn't have love for them, that is kind of upset at them. He's a teeny-weeny, constricted God. And all the things in life are too big for God to handle. And then others got a big God. And they got a big God that can handle anything, anytime, any way He wants to. They've got a kind of big God that says, no, sir, we won't bow down to that idol. And if you cast us in the fiery furnace, our God will deliver us. And if He doesn't deliver us, we're still not going to bow down. Our God's big, Nebuchadnezzar. I mean, big. It took him 7 years crawling around out there, growing his hair like the wings of eagles, the feathers of eagles, and his fingernails out like the claws of an eagle, before he found out. But God is big. And He can take this nation, He can take this nation and turn it around and shake it up. He can take the world. It says one day He's going to take the world and shake all the inhabitants out of it, like drops out of a bucket. Just take that thing. Well, I'm kind of done with you guys. And that's it. It's all done. He's a big God. You'd look in the Bible, and you will find a lot of statements about how big God is that your mind just kind of, you know, your computer won't go that far. Have you ever done your little calculator and you hit too big of a number? You know, you started multiplying, all of a sudden you get a little E up there, or however yours does it. And then you hit that E, and you hit some more buttons, it just stays E. You hit everything until you hit clear, it just stays there, E, you know. It doesn't matter what you hit. Well, that's what our mind does. When we begin to see God, but guess what? Faith will let Him be as big as He is. Faith will go beyond what your understanding can handle. It'll just let Him be big, you know. And put a little mark up there on the computer, you know, just let Him be big. Infinity. Infinity. Have you ever thought about infinity? I remember taking calculus and thinking about infinity. And I remember my mind just going and going and going. And it hit the spot where it finally went, you know, and shorting, you know, and sparks flying. And I just had to stop. Infinity is a long way. In fact, the very expression, the long way, is just won't work. God's big. Faith is a perspective that always takes God into account. Let's give another definition now. Let me enter into another realm of definition. Faith is a perspective that always takes God into account. Let me ask you something. Is there anything in life where God is not? Is there anything where God is not involved? If you are living a life of faith, and that's what I'm going to be challenging you to do throughout this semester, is living a life where you are constantly taking hold of the unseen things. And you're living in the realm of that which you see not. So that you have a habit of thinking in faith. You have a habit of viewing things by faith, instead of according to what you see. So that you're constantly living in the realm of God's promise, instead of what you yourself are subject to by the five senses. That's the realm God wants us to live in. And so true faith, the living faith of the Bible, is a perspective that always takes God into account. It always takes God into account. You hear of the, I mentioned the word conviction. You know what a conviction does? It rides with you, doesn't it? It just stays there. You know what I mean? You got a conviction about something, it's just there, isn't it? And you have a conviction that you are not to steal. And when the situation arises, you can just take this $50 and nobody would know the difference. You've got a conviction that's riding there with you. A conviction. It won't let you do it. Because you have a conviction. Well, there should be a conviction that God is always there. And God is always with you. Because the Scripture says so. And you cannot go anywhere without Him being there. And that conviction will always ride with you, so that you're always taking God into account in every situation. As soon as a sickness comes up, God is immediately there in your thoughts. As soon as a situation comes up where it's a trial or trouble, God is immediately in your thoughts. I was talking to somebody the other day, and they felt bad. And because they realized that they had gone through this certain situation and they'd never really taken God into account. And they looked back and they thought, I have been going through this and I haven't even prayed about it. I haven't even prayed about it. See, their faith was greatly lacking. They weren't really believing. They had no conviction in that realm. Your waking thought should be with God into account. Your last thought at night should be with God into account. Your daily activity should always be taking God into account. Because no matter what you have out here, all this is so nothing compared to the eternalness of God and His greatness. I'm telling you, one day this is all going to burn up. It's all going to burn up and pass away and be as nothing. It'll be like a dream in the night. And you'll be entering into an eternal realm. Faith takes you there now. Faith takes you there now. William Branham was said to be a man in another realm. That man was full of faith. And the angel told him, he said, if you can just get the people to believe, nothing shall stand before you. If you can just get the people to believe. And that man lived in a realm of constantly taking God into consideration and resting upon, see, the works and the promises of God. I have a tape from 1951, one of his early in his early ministry, one of the services. Absolutely awesome. Really awesome. The brother was so simple. He just lived in faith. He just was convinced of God's promises, and he just lived that way. That's just the way it was. So God was constantly leading him, talking to him. To him, it was no big deal because he lived there. For us, it's a big deal. If God does something, we just whoop and holler, and we just can't get over it because we don't expect Him to. But if we lived in the realm, it'd be a continual occurrence. God is dealing in our lives. Now, I do not mean that the Lord was always talking to him, because He wasn't. I don't mean, and we try to play the game. Well, the Lord told me, and He never told you anything. You felt a certain conviction. You have a certain assurance. But He always was in this realm, and that's the realm that God wants you and I to live in. So it's that conviction. It's also a knowledge, as it were. It's a knowledge that God is always there. It's an assurance that God is always there. You know what knowledge is, really? The knowledge is the absolute certainty of a fact. I mean, you've got knowledge of it, you see. Well, blessed is the man that their faith has taken the promises of God and made them a knowledge, so that they know. As the Bible in one place says, Jesus says that you might know. Now let me just turn to it. It's John chapter 10, and I believe it's verse 38. John chapter 10 and verse 38. And let me start at verse 37. But if I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. But if I do, though you believe not me, believe the works, that you may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in Him. Now actually, the Greek says this. But if I do the works of my Father, believe, though you believe not me, believe the works, that ye may come to know and continue knowing. Now it's translated and believe, but it should be translated and continue knowing. If you believe God, you will come to know. Don't you know that God exists? But you only know it by faith. That's the only way you know it. And see, that's the kind of faith that makes a healing yours. That's why that one brother that got healed of a liver disorder, Steve, he testified about it just last weekend or the weekend before, I can't remember when, and also had diabetes. We were discussing after he'd been prayed for, and he was asking what I should do. And I said, well, brother, what do you mean what you should do? If you've got confidence that you're healed, then you'll know what to do. If you've got confidence that you're healed. If you've laid a hold of the promise and made it yours, well, that's exactly what he did. And when he believed that it was his, and he just had that constant assurance and that conviction that he was healed. And although he didn't have any proof for it, he just had that conviction and that confidence that he was healed. He may not have felt good right away either, but he went back to that doctor and he was healed. Just like that girl that testified a few months ago, that she had a lump, a cyst, in her abdomen. But she believed that God would heal her. And she prayed and she got the assurance. Because when you believe, you will come to know. Well, she came to know. She came to know that she was healed. Because she believed. She believed. But she could still feel the lump. She says, I believe I'm healed. But I still got this lump. Well, I believe I'm healed. I don't have to go back to the doctor. But I don't go back to the doctor and just find out, because I believe I'm healed. I just don't know what. But that used to be the cyst. And so she went into the doctor. He says, if I'm not mistaken, I believe she told the doctor, she said, I know I've been healed. God has healed me. I want you just to check this thing. And so he checked her and so forth. And they came out and she asked him and says, well, he says, well, it's not there. And she says, well, I knew that. I knew God had healed me. But what's this lump here? It was gone. Okay. It was gone. She believed, and she came to know, and she was operating on that fact. That's why when people are prayed for, some ask, well, should I throw my glasses away? I've been prayed for healing, should I throw my glasses away? That's not somebody else's decision to make. Well, you don't need your glasses, you'll throw them away. Well, you know you don't need your glasses. Now, many times people know they don't need their glasses before they can see clearly. But it's a confidence. It's an assurance. They believe and they've come to know. Just like this one girl that was prayed for. They were praying. She'd broken her leg on a skiing accident. It was a compound fracture. They're waiting in this room with her family to go to the hospital. They had been praying. The father was newly spirit-filled. They'd newly been spirit-filled. And they're praying. And all of a sudden, the father heard a crack. She'd heard his daughter move and heard a loud crack. And he thought, oh my God, she has stepped on that leg and it has broken all the way through. And he began to hear some praising God and so forth. And he looked over there and she was walking on that leg that had a compound fracture. The bone was extruding through the skin. She was walking on that leg and there was no more bone sticking out. She had prayed and believed that God had healed her and gotten up and stepped on that leg. And God just went, pop, and put it right back together. Snapped the bone right back in place. I'm telling you, all things are possible to him that believe it. But they believed. They didn't play the game. And we're gonna really make this clear, I trust, by the end of the semester. It's not a game. It's just taking God as God. It's just taking his word. And he meant what he said. It's true. That's what faith does. It makes it yours. And then you come to know it. Okay, God bless you.